I think, Wendy, you're probably in the same age range. I bet you at one point you had a belt with a name embroidered in it. Not embroidered.
Yeah, you buy them at the store. You, there's like a list, yeah.
Yeah, come you got on. A belt with your
Are
name.
Are you making this up?
Like, no, my what belt a bunch said
of,
timber.
A bunch of dweebs you must have been.
first of all, hey, I wore those rustlers with swag. Don't even.
With your name on the belt? I'm sorry, the swag goes right out the window.
Well,
when
I was like 4 or 5.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's Christmas Eve. Happy holidays to everyone out there. We've got joining us Jackie McMullen, who's got her family with her in Boston.
Very excited.
We've got Timothy Band McMahon, who gave his daughters their Christmas presents right off their Christmas list. Now that they know that they get whatever you put on their Christmas list, McMahon, wait till they start asking for cars.
I've already gotten that taken care of. I've got a plan. Don't worry, Wendy.
Okay.
It involves staying employed, so shout out to Christina Douglas.
Be careful. Be careful what you say on this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, and Andrew Hahn got up early today and is spinning the dials in LA. Andrew, do you have to work on Christmas?
Probably I have to work. You're also, always... it's Brian Windhorst in the Hoop Collective.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
McMahon, you're going to the Rockets Thunder game, I would assume.
You would assume incorrectly.
Oh.
You know what they say about assuming.
So.
I am going to the Blazers Jazz game because we need somebody at every game. And so we've got Rockets Thunder covered. Royce Young and Mike Wright are actually going to handle that for us. And I'll hop on a plane in the morning and be covering the late game tomorrow night. I'm sure there won't be a lot open in Salt Lake City on Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't count on it. So I want to talk about the Blazers, actually. Well, first off, I think we have to talk about what happened last night in Portland involving the Blazers. The Blazers won the game, but that will not be the memory from the game.
Yeah, no one's going to remember that, ever.
The shot that Luka Doncic hit to force overtime was one of the most breathtaking shots I think I've ever seen. My mother is visiting us here for the holiday, and she was doing an annual tradition watching The Sound of Music, and I was looking at my phone when Doncic hit that shot, and I exclaimed and had to watch the video many times over. It was disturbing, The Sound of Music songs.
Was it an appropriate exclamation, or did you have to apologize?
Honestly, I do not recall. by the way, I hope everyone has seen it. If you haven't seen
how
it.
How can you not?
My gosh, pause this podcast and go get it on Twitter. And by the way, let me just say, the pass that Jalen Brunson threw was a brilliant pass.
John, well, here it is, corner, Luka!
Jackie, what did you think when you saw that shot?
You know, he was fading so far away. I thought, okay, I know he's terrific. And then now, of course, I've read about how he practices these half court shots and he has this range. And of course, Tim McMahon has shared that with us before. But I thought it can't possibly have enough, right? That's what I kept thinking. He was fading so, I guess it was left to right, wasn't it? Left to right, I guess.
He was fading left to right. His right out corner, he ended right. up way out of
He was behind the backboard.
Yeah, it was just.
When he left to go.
You know what? The thing I thought of was what incredible body control. That was the first thing I thought of because it reminded me now I'm taking you in the way, way, way back machine. But there was a game during that great 85. It was one of the great Celtics teams that Larry Bird hit a not quite as spectacular shot, but it was in the corner as time expired. And ironically enough, against the Portland Trail Blazers, fading, I think he was fading right to left, hit it. and put his hand up like he already knew it was in, just like all Doncic's teammates did, right? Everybody knew it was going in.
Right, that was an
incredible thing. Yeah.
The ball is like about – it's scraping the ceiling, and you've got Jalen Brunson and Wesley Matthews underneath the hoop already celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, they knew.
From the time that he let it go, it's not like they were surprised it went in. They started celebrating.
Yeah. It's just adding to the legend of this kid, right? That's what – and it's funny, to your point, Brian, nobody even cares that they lost the game. Nobody even cares about that.
Well, the Mavericks do because it's a winless road trip, and now they've got the worst road record in the league. But it's crazy. They go 0-4 on this trip. Super competitive, though, especially against the Warriors and the Blazers on both ends of the back-to-back. And then Luka was just ridiculous on the trip. I mean, there was two straight games where you punch in his stats in the Basketball Reference Play Index and say, okay, which teenagers have done this? It's like, oh, the list is Luka Doncic and LeBron James. You know, and even last night, I think you add Lonzo Ball and Kevin Durant. I mean, he's doing things that, like, we've rarely, if ever, seen teenagers do, and he's doing them on a consistent basis. And, you know, obviously Luka, I mean, the hype machine is going bonkers for this kid. And it's not just the media. I mean, it's players. It's Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. It's, you know, last night Damian Lillard's got you know, from him. But, man, I'll tell you, Jaren Jackson Jr. drilling a step-back three in LeBron's face as the dagger for a 27-point, I think, 8-rebound performance in a road win in L.A. was pretty impressive. DeAndre Ayton going on for what 27-16, I think it was yesterday. He's been pretty impressive. He's actually
he's been playing great. They've been playing great as a team, the Suns.
Yeah. Aiden's got five straight double doubles. I mean, it's a special top of that rookie class.
So, Andrew, I think maybe we should share the story. So, what was it? How many days ago did Charlie Widows come in?
What story are we talking
about? Do you remember where Charlie Widows from the Clippers was asking about that? That draft. So anyway, smart guy. He's worked for the Knicks and the 76ers, and now he works for the Clippers. And he was saying that if you had a draft where you could draft anybody in the entire league, all 400 whatever guys, and you could just draft them. Thank you.
Yes.
And you could draft them right now, like you know, and it was almost like a fantasy draft where you had to go in order. You know, each team got a pick in the first round, blah, blah, blah. Would Luka Doncic be a lottery pick?
I think so.
Well, this was 4 games ago. And I said, well, he'd definitely be a first round pick.
Yeah, lottery pick. That's you got to do the numbers, right? You got to do the numbers.
And I'm doing the numbers thinking I'm drafting this kid and I'm getting at least 15 great years out of him.
I don't know about that.
You're getting along.
That's a little bit of hyperbole, my friend.
Shenanigans. Oh, there we go.
He'll be 19 plus 15 is 34. There's no hyperbole. He will be the Bronze Age in 15 years.
You're
saying 15 great years? Oh, okay.
You're comparing him to LeBron James. No.
I'm just saying you're getting a 15-year window. And I'll say, look, I'm not comparing him to LeBron James, but I know every time I'm punching his stat line into the Basketball Reference Play Index and saying what teenagers have done this before, it's him and LeBron. I'm saying he is the kid will be special. I will go, that ain't hyperbole. Listen to Draymond Green. Listen to these, will he be the best player in the league? I don't know. But if you put over under on 10 All-Star appearances, I'll take over.
I mean, this is this was the point of the fantasy draft that Brian is mentioning in that story though, right? So Tim is saying that Luka is one of the 14 players that you would start a franchise with today. That's the gist of that draft.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but are we including like Durant and like
everyone.
Yeah. So okay.
And
but it's not a slam dunk.
Right now, you're going to get.
Thank you.
That's all. I mean, you got.
Thank
let's
you.
Just do that, it.
That's
let's
what
play
I,
the
that,
game.
That, that's what
let's
I
the
said.
Game. Let's play the game. LeBron, Durant, Steph Curry, James Harden.
Because you're with LeBron, you're getting what, 3-4 more years? I'll take 15 years of Luke over 3 or 4 more of LeBron.
Well, maybe not everybody will.
Is that the premise, though? Are we talking about all these players at their current age?
Yes, at their current age. You're starting over today.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
That's why I'm talking about his age. You're getting a you've got a generation to build around. Whereas, okay. Like with LeBron, you got
no. I get
what,
that, but let's keep going. We still we haven't gotten to Giannis yet. We haven't gotten to Anthony Davis yet.
Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi. Like it's not that he's not a great player. There's a lot of great players in this league that have been doing a lot longer. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to doubt this kid or put cold water on this wonderful career he's in the middle of, or not in the middle of, at the beginning of. But it's just, you know, perspective. That's all.
Right. So I just
you're trying to call shenanigans on the Luka Doncic hype machine.
No, I'm not. No. I'm not. I'm just saying that before we anoint him as one of the top 14 players in the league, let's do the math. That's all I'm saying.
Different though. I'm not saying right now he's one of the top 14 players. I'm saying if you say you get this guy for the rest of his career, he'd be certainly one of the first 14.
Yeah, but I mean, McMahon, there's a risk to everything. I mean, we don't know how healthy he'll be. We don't know, you know, all this stuff. I mean, there's a certain unknown, but
yeah, and he could eat his way into being just really good instead of, you know.
But you could argue,
or it could go the other way. He could get some conditioning and then become an absolute monster, right?
And that's what the Mavericks are hoping.
Yeah, of course. They have the staff to try to make that happen. So.
But you could also argue that Giannis is going to be great for another 12 years.
Oh, for sure. Giannis
and, you know,
and look,
easily.
Aaron Jackson Jr., I think, is got to be in consideration. He's doing things as a 19-year-old that are absolutely ridiculous.
Well, as long as you're looking up video of last night, if you look up the video that McMahon mentioned where he gets a step-back three over LeBron to ice that game against the Lakers in L.A., if you watch the replay, you will see how stunned LeBron is about how fast he got that shot off.
Shot off, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's
and this is a 6'11" rim protector hitting a step back three.
Right, and the way that he stepped backward and released it, it was like, wow, it was like one of the smoothest moves you'll see.
Jaren, 8 to shoot. One on one with LeBron James. Step back three. Bingo! Holy cow! What a shot! Jaren Jackson Jr. with ice water in the veins. Buries the triple over LeBron James.
But, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, so that night after, it was the first time I saw Luka play. I went and saw him. He had 32 against the Clippers that night. The Clippers looked fantastic, though, and they won. But certainly he was impressive. But then the next day, LeBron was answering questions about his Anthony Davis comments, and he was – LeBron was like sort of expressing frustration and being sarcastic, everything all at once. And he was saying,
"Hey, this firestorm that I intentionally started, I can't believe this firestorm got started."
Right, but that was there was a separate issue that came out. So he was listing off the players that he's like, "Oh, ask me if I want to play with Kevin Durant. Ask me if I want to play with I can't remember who else he said, but he included Doncic in that."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Luka's already on LeBron.
So, like, even
ask me if list.
Even if he was being sarcastic and sort of patronizing to the people who are criticizing him, he at the same time, like, and this is just some of the amazing thing that happens in LeBron's orbit and the power of his words is that he lists Luka in that list, and like everybody's like, oh my god, he just listed Luka, and in fact. Andrew, Charlie did text me asking because I was not I did not believe that Luka was a lottery pick at that point. I, you know, certainly a first round pick, but I wasn't ready to say lottery pick to start a franchise with. And, you know, it's arguable. You could present a case both ways. But Charlie definitely.
We should do that as a project.
Oh,
Andrew, we should have the build our own team. For the future draft.
Should I not have said this, Andrew? Because Andrew and I talked about doing this on the offseason.
Yeah. So, hey, what are you guys doing tomorrow? Like, let's
right.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Jumping on a plane and going to Utah.
No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, the thing that was interesting about LeBron, I was laughing. I was like, ask me if I want to play with Kyrie Irving. That's what I really wanted him to say.
I think he did. He did. Kyrie Irving's on that list.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
You have to ask both ways.
Yeah.
But that was just an amazing moment, and that shot, that was a chance to be the shot of the year.
Well, it can't be the shot of the year, Brian, because they didn't win.
Exactly.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
So the Lakers lost last night at home. We mentioned the Grizzlies. It was a good win for the Grizzlies coming into L.A. And winning that one. The Lakers have now lost 4 out of 6. I think they're in a tie for 5th in the West. But they're, you know, I mean, it's kind of silly to look at every single day standings. But just to illustrate,
also kind of fun.
Just to illustrate how tenuous everyone's position is. The Lakers are essentially in a tie for 5th.
Except for those Denver Nuggets that we never talk about.
I'm telling you.
They had a...
you should give the Denver Nuggets a little more love, Mr. Windhorst, on your Hoop Collective podcast.
They had a bad loss. Who did they lose to the other night? They had a bad loss the other night. Jokic got ejected.
Oh, it was the Clippers.
Was it Clippers?
Yeah, who had been struggling, and suddenly they're playing well again.
Jokic is unbelievable.
They lost last night.
God, he is so much fun. Jokic is so much fun.
Well, the Clippers, they'd been terrible. They went on a road trip, and I think they played like 6 out of 8 on the road. And they just got eaten up, and they came back home, and they have been one of the best home teams in the league. They're 11-4 at home, and have played one of the fewest amount of home games. In fact, I think they're tied for the fewest. Actually, Utah's played the fewest home games, but they're tied for the fewest or second fewest home games in the conference. But anyway, the Lakers, all right, they're actually still in 4th. They're tied for 4th, a three-way tie for 4th. But their schedule coming up is somewhat difficult. They obviously play Christmas Day at Golden State. That is no gimme. Then they play at Sacramento, and here we are at Christmas. Sacramento is 3 games over .500.
Much to the dismay of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's just say this about the Lakers. They're tied for 4th. They're in a three-way tie for 4th at Christmas. They have yet to play the Warriors at all, and they've yet to play the Thunder, the two of the top three teams. They played Denver twice, and they're 1-1. The two of the top three teams in the league, Denver and Golden State, Golden State and Oklahoma City, they have not played yet. They play both in the next week for the first time. Oklahoma City comes to L.A. LeBron has not missed a game. Now, they have had some injuries, and most recently JaVale McGee has missed 4 games with a terrible, I think Shams reported it was pneumonia. At the very least, it was a very serious...
It was
hospitalized.
Chris Haynes report.
Yeah. Oh, Chris Haynes? Oh, I apologize. Chris Haynes. Anyway, and obviously Ingram has been out, Rondo has been out. So it hasn't, everything's gone perfectly. That said, they have had, they've played more home games than road games to this point. LeBron has not missed a game. They have not played, two of the best teams in the league at all, and they have 4 games with both. And yet they're in a tie for 4th, a three-way tie for 4th. You know, they lose the next 2 games, they'll be maybe an 8th. So what do we think about where the Lakers are right now, Jackie?
Whenever you have LeBron, you're going to be in the mix. I think it's gone a little more smoothly than I expected at times. They're interesting to me. But I still don't consider them a contending team. They still have some issues, as you know. They're, I think, points allowed, just a basic defensive statistic. We could go deeper into their defensive statistics as we want, but they're still in the bottom third of the league in points allowed. So they still have some things to work on. It's, the biggest question for me, Brian, as we go into the spring, into the new year with the Lakers, is can Brandon Ingram and LeBron James play together? And the numbers tell us so far, not very well. And that, to me, is the single biggest issue for them going forward.
I agree with that, and it's interesting. At this point, I'm not sure that Brandon Ingram missing time has necessarily been a negative in terms of wins and losses, but that is something where they've got to figure that out. And then the problem is, if Brandon Ingram is more valuable as a trade piece than he is as a fit for this team, it's not like he's exactly done much to boost his value. And then, are they kind of handcuffed in terms of trying to seriously upgrade this team, this season, if they're all all trying to make sure Anthony Davis, you know, maximizing the chances of him getting to LA. You know, do they have to kind of hold all their chips?
Well, you know, if they do any trade, which is one of the reasons why they wanted Ariza, they've got to do a trade that where they don't take on any money because they want to protect that max slot. They work too hard to get there. And when they negotiated the Luol Deng buyout, he gave back a lot of money. I don't know why he gave back as much money as he did. I guess he was just desperate to get out of there. Mm-hmm. He now just doesn't play in Minnesota as opposed to not playing in LA. But they were able to negotiate just enough down to get a full max slot. So they have it. I mean, we don't know exactly where the number is going to come down yet, but like even if they were to, you know, make it, like at one point I remember that, you know, they were like, will they trade for Kyle Korver? Well, Kyle Korver's got $3 million guaranteed next year, and losing that $3 million would have, even if they had just waived him, it would have put them out of position on that max slot. That's how tight the numbers are. So you think of all the guys they can trade for, you narrow it all the way down to, well, we have to trade for guys where we don't take on money. Then the second thing is their biggest trade chip in terms of an expiring contract is probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, unless another team is just, you know, going to be compensated like with a draft pick to like take somebody else on, which I guess is possible. But when you start looking around, you say, okay, who can they trade Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for? And KCP has a no trade. Well, it's not a no trade clause, but he has the ability to void all trade because of his contract. So, you know, and my guess is since Caldwell Pope has to realize he's not likely to be re-signed in LA anyway, unless they strike out in free agency and have to give him money as a placeholder again, he probably would be amenable to a trade, but he's not going to go somewhere where he's going to be third string.
The Rockets have sniffed around on him, and then there's a couple issues there. Number one, you get the okay. How do you make the money work on trade? Because they don't want Brandon Knight back because they absolutely have zero interest in the next year of Brandon Knight's contract being the Lakers. Number two, if you're the Rockets and it's a however many months rental of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Is that, you know, do you want to give up a first round pick for, you know, I mean, you need depth. And, you know, he definitely would play off.
No way. I'm going to stop you right there.
But no. Yeah.
Listen, no way. This, I think for the Lakers, Brian, and you know, you can correct me, but the idea isn't to worry so much about this year. So Brandon Ingram, like I found the numbers, by the way, these are just through the end of November, not December. Points per 36 minutes with LeBron James on the court with Brandon Ingram, 15.1. With him off, 29.5. Assists per 36 minutes with James on, 1.9. With James off, 4.7. Field goal percentage with James on, 44%. With him off, 56%. Net efficiency with James on, -0.3. With James off, +12. Those are astounding.
Wow.
Okay. Now, that's only through the end of November. So
he's only played a couple games in December. So
that's right.
And I'm wondering how many minutes does he play without LeBron? Because those are like all star caliber numbers.
So you have it, Jackie, but I mean, it was a representative number. He played over, I saw those stats. He played over 400 minutes with LeBron.
Yeah.
He played maybe 100 something without him.
Significantly less without. But here's what I'm going to say about it. If you are looking ahead, which clearly they are, and you need chips. Brandon Ingram, I mean, whether he can play well with LeBron or not, I don't think anybody, I think there's plenty of people that would be interested in Brandon Ingram. Okay? And so why would you trade him now? I wouldn't. That makes no
sense. Well, you'd only trade him for Anthony Davis.
Only for Anthony Davis, right.
And they're not trading him during.
And they're not trading him now. So you hang on to Brandon Ingram, and you hope that these two can figure it out.
So LeBron, this is such an interesting moment. So the Pelicans are, you know, they're on a West Coast trip. So I don't want to, but they are, I don't want to say in a free fall. They are.
Yeah, they're struggling.
They're not doing well. They are.
Well, Mirotić has been out.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
Only played 6 games. I mean, they've had all kinds of health problems.
Mirotić is a big loss.
No depth.
Big loss for them.
They've lost 4 in a row. They're now 4 games under 500 And I mean, again, the West is tightly bunched, but at this moment, they are 14th in the West. Now, it must be said that they are 3 games out of 8th So it's not like they could put together a 6-game win streak. It's no reason to quit. But you know, LeBron, they have not won since LeBron made the comments. Now, granted, it's been a hard schedule, but they have not.
Yeah, won, so. I don't think that's a coincidence.
I know, but it's just LeBron has the ability to destabilize things. He, even with his words, I think
I was
that's
say, with his say. Team, with his team or others.
That's exactly right. So, but I just think I'm just going to be honest here. Jackie, I think even if the Pelicans have to trade him, I think it's kind of like the Spurs. Like, the Spurs really had no interest in sending Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And now, at the end of the day, if the best offer was with the Lakers, the Spurs would have done it. I don't think it was an ironclad no way. But right. If it was anywhere near close, the tie was not going to the Lakers.
Right.
And I think the way things are going here, I think in one way it was kind of interesting the way LeBron made this a conversation right now, but I don't think he helped the cause, because I think that it's very unlikely that – I think the Pelicans would exhaust all opportunities before trading him to the Lakers.
I think the Suns did that with Trevor Ariza. You can imagine the Pelicans doing it with Anthony Davis.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the big but, and we know this already. If Anthony Davis, we all know the Celtics want Anthony Davis, and everybody else, by the way, stand in line. If Anthony Davis says, "Well, I appreciate your interest in me, but I'm going,"
but didn't Paul George say that?
Yeah, but when you do that, when you make that kind of statement, then the value your team that's trading you gets for you is significantly less.
Right, but Kawhi Leonard, he wasn't trying to go to Toronto, and they said, "Okay, we don't care. We're going to take a shot at this." And then obviously things are going great there.
But here's the difference, Tim. Here's the difference. Toronto went to the postseason how many years in a row, and they knew they had to change. They knew they couldn't win DeMar DeRozan. The Celtics know no such thing with their core. They know no such thing.
I think Brian wrote this column. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? That Boston is basically ineligible unless they trade Kyrie.
Till the summer.
Yeah, but they're not gonna trade him.
Nothing's gonna happen before then anyway, Andrew. Okay. Yeah, so we're talking in the summer.
I mean, I would just say, just to leave a door open, because that's what we have to do. I suppose it's possible if the Pelicans lose 10 out of 12 or 13 out of 15, and they sink to a level where there is no hope, and it looks like really dark on February 1st. I suppose it is possible that they could entertain it.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Yeah.
If you're the Pelicans, why would you do that? You are limiting your trade possibilities.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm just sort of – I'm a little bit playing devil's advocate and just saying let's leave the door cracked. Jackie, knowing Danny Ainge the way you do, do you think that Danny Ainge would trade for Anthony Davis even if there was no assurance of an extension, and or even if he was saying, "I want to play in L.A.? Do you think he'd still do it?
He would do it, risk. but he wouldn't give you the same package, and he'd be foolish to do so. It's kind of like
true.
Me,
that's
so
true.
Like the, we heard about the Celtics and Jimmy Butler. I don't know how true any of that talk was, but they were, he's got a team right now that clearly still has some issues to work out. There's no doubt about it. Although the game last night with Al back, Horford, and Morris back, they looked fantastic. But they still have issues. They're still working through things, but they have a team that, has a very – it's not a short window. It's a long window. And so he doesn't have to do anything. And
that's
so,
true, but let me just set the table here. Let's say Kevin Durant signs with a team that is not the Warriors.
Let's say that Kevin Durant wants to come to Boston, just for argument's sake. So someone told – this is funny. Some GM said to me the other day, remember he gave Boston a visit during his free agency. Remember
he
all
said
that?
They finished second. He basically implied they finished second.
Right. And so what I've learned, and maybe you guys already knew this, I did not. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are really tight. They work out together during the offseason. They make a trip every year to an island. I wrote it, so I should remember, but my brain's a sieve. Wherever they went. And
in the Jason Bahamas, right?
Bahamas, thank you. And Jason Tatum was hanging out with them this summer and the summer before. So someone suggested to me the other day, don't sleep on Kevin Durant taking a second look at Boston, which I had never considered.
Well, he is
eligible. There'd have to be a sign and trade, obviously. Right. They don't have the money. They don't have the room.
Well, other than helping a team compete against you for a title. If Kevin Durant said to the Warriors, I'm leaving, the Warriors would absolutely participate in a sign and trade, especially to Boston.
Right, yeah. Anyway, so just throwing that in.
Well, I'm
just telling you. Some GM got me thinking this way.
I think it's very interesting. I also think that, like, to me, if I were the Warriors, okay, and they're going to probably have a pretty good idea by the end of the season / finals, whatever, where Kevin's head is. Maybe they won't, but my guess is they'll have a pretty good idea. If they know it's a pretty good chance that Kevin is interested in going elsewhere on July 1st, and probably well before that, but your number one priority has got to be to grab Klay Thompson, give him a hug and say, we love you. Please don't go anywhere. Because if you lock Klay and Steph is locked down and you lock Klay down, no matter what happens to Durant, no matter what happens to Draymond, who has 1 year left and wants an extension and that potentially could get messy. If you got those two guys locked down, you can at least say to yourself, okay, we have the Splash Brothers. This is where we started. Now let's retrofit our team around these two guys again, and we will build another champion. We have these two guys, and we have these two Hall of Famers.
Yeah, you could say we've got the second best backcourt in Northern California. Let's go forward.
That's right. We have the second best backcourt, and we know their ages are exactly accurate.
Something
smells about that whole thing. I'll just leave that go. But they're still in there. You have Hall of Famers in their primes under contract, and you know, you would be willing to say, hey, listen, what if we took a couple of Celtics players that we liked the way they fit and we did started our retrofit. I wouldn't call it a rebuild, but our retrofit if Durant walks. I think it's absolutely something they'd be willing to consider, even if Durant went to a team had cap space. I think they'd be interested in signing and trading him. Nobody wants to lose anybody.
Right. I mean, this is such a pie in the sky. I feel like
what if you could get Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis?
I don't think you can. How?
You can.
Jason Tatum is getting traded to New Orleans in that scenario. Obviously, plus.
Well, you know, I agree, Jackie. Let's just reiterate it again.
This is just fantasy land, guys.
We're in fantasy land. And you can call shenanigans all you want. But
fantasy land was how, like, the Heat and the Warriors got built, you know, just so you know.
And the Lakers, the whole LeBron to the Lakers thing.
Well, it's been,
that was never fantasy land. We knew about that 2 years before it happened.
But you could trade Gordon Hayward for Kevin Durant in a requested sign and trade. And then you could trade Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and draft pick assets, or Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum, depending on how you wanted to go.
I think they would want Tatum over Jaylen Brown.
But... Well, I'd only trade Tatum if I knew that Anthony Davis was absolutely going to extend. But I'll just put it this way. Let's just take Durant out of it for a second. Let's go back to where we were in the start of this. If Kevin Durant were to leave the Warriors to go to Team X, okay, that's not the Celtics.
Okay.
And you're Danny Ainge.
Mm-hmm.
And you like a team that you have and think, my gosh, if we get Anthony Davis here, even if we have no promise for 1 year, even if it's just we know we've got him for a year and his bird rights, I would not trade Tatum in that regard.
No.
But there's a trade to be made. And so you would have Hayward and Horford. I wouldn't trade Horford. You have Hayward and Horford and Kyrie and Tatum and Anthony Davis. Maybe you had to give away your draft assets. You had to give away Marcus Smart. You had to give away
You'd give away Jaylen almost Brown. Anything. You'd give away almost anything.
Don't you think even for a 1 year shot at possibly winning a championship that he would go for it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if you're asking me, is like he's scared? The answer is so unequivocally no.
Right. He's not. Well, he's definitely not scared. That's not a question.
Yeah, I mean, he will.
I mean, this is kind of the same conundrum that the Rockets and Daryl Morey faced last season when they felt like they were close and they made all those the big trade for Chris Paul to go for it. Didn't work out for them, but. Functionally,
it almost did.
Yeah,
but it's not the same thing, Andrew, because they knew they
the guy
were they
entering were, his prime instead of a guy exiting his prime.
I just think it's so. You know, the guy who I'd love to get a candid interview with, and you'd never get it. But I'd love to hear Les Alexander When I mean, he gave up on the team. Not gave up, but he sold the team a year.
Yeah, he didn't give up on the team.
But he had to know when he sold the team. He had just signed Harden to a historic extension, and he had just traded for Chris Paul, knowing that Chris Paul was going to want a preposterous max contract. Well, knowing
that was going to not just – I mean, knowing it was happening. It's not like they made that decision last summer.
Right, but he sold at the absolute peak value.
Yep.
$2.2 billion.
But can I just say this? What
he
I think
turned $85 million into $2.2 billion.
But can I tell you what's so fascinating about that to me? Les Alexander plans to give almost all of his money away.
It doesn't change the fact that it was a tremendous business decision.
No. I'm just telling you. To me, that is incredible.
Jackie, if you can tell me what line to stand in for that Les Alexander money, I'd appreciate it.
For giving it away. I just think
Les Alexander is a fascinating, fascinating man, and I have tried to interview him for many years, and he's just not interested in that sort of thing, which makes me like him more, even though it's bad for us. And I just think he's a really incredibly philanthropic guy, and so it is interesting that he got a great business deal, but I like that part of the story.
Just his time, even if his goal was to bank as much money as possible so he could give his more away. Whatever his goal for selling the team when he did, he sold it for a reason when he did.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. I'll go on. Yep.
But I just think that I believe it's going to be hard for the Lakers to get their hands on Anthony Davis in 2019-20.
I don't know. I don't agree. But we'll see.
Well, the agent, I think, I don't know how much power he has, but that's a factor. And if Rich Paul, with obviously the blessing of Anthony Davis, is determined to deliver him to the Lakers to play with LeBron, I don't think we can just kind of dismiss that.
Is there another topic we can switch to? Because we talked about this last week. Yeah.
Denver Nuggets, man. Let's give the Nuggets some love. I'm telling you, they're winning without Will Barton has barely played. Gary Harris is out. Why don't you guys want to talk about
that? Millsap's
out. Like, I was there. The vibe in that town right now is incredible.
Hey, I'm trying to claim them and add them to my rotation.
I mean, Jackie, do you think that Denver is the second best team in the West?
I do, because we haven't even seen them at their best yet. I mean, Will Barton in preseason, we thought, oh no, this is bad. He's really important to them. And then Gary Harris goes down, and now Millsap, and they're still winning.
And look, Millsap
and
went
so entertaining.
Yeah, and Millsap went down, and that's what cost them the playoffs.
Right.
Last year, but it's a team that has taken a step every year under Mike Malone, and now they've taken this leap. And Jokic is, I mean, he legitimately should be in the premature, not yet even midseason MVP conversation. They're the number one team in the West, and he's having an unbelievable season.
Brian, do you also think that they're the second best team in the West?
No, I think the Thunder are the second best team in the West.
I'm with you.
The Thunder, who just lost at home last night to a Minnesota team that previously was top.
Well, yep. And the Thunder who have lost twice to the Nuggets.
They're the league.
Yep. Who have lost twice to the Nuggets already.
Yep.
And we're
that's
so frustrated that Russell Westbrook felt compelled to push Jamal Murray out of the jump ball circle at the end of the game.
I'm going to give Russell advice. Don't mess with the guy who grew up studying Bruce Lee.
Yep, got that straight. And I'll tell you something else. We haven't even talked about Isaiah Thomas and what he might be able to do for the Denver Nuggets. Mm.
I don't know.
And by the way, Michael Porter. Do you realize Michael Porter Jr. is on this team?
That's the name that I keep hearing. So
unbelievable.
I can't remember if I said it on this podcast. I think I might have, Andrew, but somebody I know who's attended a couple Nuggets practices, not with the Nuggets organization, somebody who's just attended some Nuggets practices is – been raving about him, and he's been working with Mark Price.
Yep,
and they just can't believe how well he's shooting the ball. So, I mean, you know, it's a pretty severe injury that
but
back.
He's not coming back this season.
I think there's a chance. I think he is. I disagree.
I think
there's a chance he's back, and we haven't again. So Monty Morris, like who? No, people didn't even know who that dude was. He still has the best turnover ratio. I'm telling you, these guys. There's a lot going on with this team that's worth noting and worth paying attention to. Yes, dear.
The Monty Morris thing. That's where I get into. Okay, is Isaiah Thomas coming back and throwing him in the mix? Is that something that's really a good thing for the Nuggets,
or
do you just want to keep rolling out Monty Morris, who's, I mean,
but here,
been unbelievable. This dude's 49% from the floor.
No, I know it.
44.9 from three-point range. Like you said, the assist-to-turnover ratio. He's one of the best backup point guards in the league. Do you need Isaiah Thomas taking
minutes
for
that
young
about
guy
that.
Who's developing?
But here's what I'd say about that, Tim. You don't have – it doesn't have to be one or the other. And you can play Isaiah in a different way that Isaiah is going to have to accept, which I think he will because, my goodness, he's running out of teams and chances, okay? You bring Isaiah Thomas off the bench and he gets, you know, we know he's a streak shooter and he can penetrate. So you use him judiciously. You don't have to feature him. He doesn't have to take away Monty Morris's minutes. There's a way to use both of those guys. All I'm saying is it's another weapon, you know, scoring. I remember Danny Ainge, I said to him once, they're a defensive team, right? They're built to be a defensive team. And I said something about, I forget who it was. One of the defensive players, they let go. And I said, I thought you really valued defense. He said, I do. But I can always find a defensive player. Give me an instant scorer, and I'll take him all day long because you can't find those anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think that Isaiah Thomas has a skill set that used properly can help the Nuggets, not hurt them, not affect their chemistry. And by the way, if he does, you cut him loose.
Right.
He has to make enough money anyway. So you can move on from that.
Well, the Nuggets are not in position to turn down any depth. They just had to recently sign somebody because they had the hardship exception because of so many injuries.
Right. But those guys are coming back. You know, Barton and Gary Harris, they're playing, they're participating in practice. They're going to be back.
Yeah. One thing that happened early in the season, in the preseason actually, they signed Mike Malone to a contract extension. And I thought it was amazing at the time because, you know, Malone hadn't made the playoffs. And, you know, he's a guy, and I've known Mike Malone for 13 years, 14 years. So I openly admit I have an affinity for him as a person because I've known him for so long.
Plus, he's a hell of a quote.
Well, that's true.
He's just a good coach. I coached his – I mean, I, as you guys know, covered his dad.
Great guy.
Oh, great, amazing guy.
Yeah. Knew Brendan before I knew Mike, actually. But you know, first off, Stan Kroenke does not like to give out coaching extensions. In fact, it was over a contract dispute that George Karl quit. You know, he was the
– Okay,
the
but right. Calling shenanigans again because it's George Karl. You got to throw it.
Fair. But my point is the guy won Coach of the Year, and Stan Kroenke didn't want to extend him. Now, I'm not saying it was a bad decision, but I'm just saying, like, Kroenke is famous for being very judicious in how he hands that stuff out. And, in fact,
that a fancy way to say cheap?
Well, I don't know if he's cheap. I think he's one of the richest men in the world, and he's one of the most successful sportsmen.
How's their G League team doing?
Well,
oh, yeah, they don't have one. How many NBA teams don't have one?
This doesn't seem like Tim wants to actually adopt this team. He's made this big show. It's like he wanted to add this team, and now he's bashing the entire organization.
I love the roster, the coaching staff. I just think there's, you know, to not have a G League team,
two quick things about,
not necessarily all in.
Two quick things about Stan Kroenke. One, the way he maneuvered, I know probably nobody on this podcast cares, but the way he maneuvered the situation in Los Angeles to get the stadium and get both teams there that would benefit him for the football team, the Rams, and then he, you know, outfoxed a bunch of smart people who thought they had influence to get the Chargers there and outfox the other stadium deals. Don't ever go up against that man and think that you're going to have a chance, because when he enters a deal, he thinks he's going to win. Secondly, if you want more about that, Google it. It's an amazing maneuver. He outmaneuvered some remarkably successful people. Secondly, the Denver Nuggets, 2 years ago, I got my hands on the financials in the league, and I wrote a story about it, and it pissed off Adam Silver that I was able to get it, but I got to see all the numbers. And the Nuggets spent – the Nuggets spending was at the very bottom. They're spending on everything. They're spending on scouting. They're spending on their front office. And when you looked at the actual numbers, it was amazing. They broke almost exactly even. I think they lost like $100,000 for the season on their books. They didn't make the playoffs. Had they made the playoffs, they would have been deep in the black. But they essentially broke even for the season. And I think they made some trades and stuff at the end of the year to make sure that they broke even. But the way that the Nuggets fit into the revenue sharing pie, they hit the exact numbers, just exactly how you have to hit them. And they got a $27 million check from the governors. So Stan Kroenke was probably sitting in those board of governors meetings and looking at guys like Dan Gilbert and Joe Lacob, who were spending in the repeater tax and losing money on championship level teams, saying, you think you won the trophy? I won the trophy. I spent as little money as possible. And you all gave me $27 million. So Kroenke is, you can call him cheap. I just think he's a relentless businessman, and he was taught business by a man named Sam Walton, who he married Sam Walton's daughter from Walmart. And so, you know, we could go on and on about Stan Kroenke here, but just know that that's the man you're dealing with. And Mike Malone was in the last year of his contract, a little bit on the hot seat. You know, if they had not gotten off to a really good start, you know, would have been, I think, on the hot seat. And technically, I know his son, Josh, is the de facto owner of the team. But you talk to anybody in the league when it comes to extending a contract, you know, for $10+ million, Stan is going to be abreast of that situation and sign off on it or not. And so the fact that they gave Mike Malone that contract extension, even though he was kind of on the hot seat, showed me that the front office was 100% in belief on this team. And not only that, and I think this is more important because of what I just said, Stan Kroenke believes in this team that his son Josh helped build with Tim Connolly.
Yeah, Connolly does a great job. I mean, you know, I was talking to Tim Connolly about drafting Jamal Murray, right? So he was convinced that Phoenix or I forget who picked – oh, Chicago picked ahead of him.
And New Orleans.
Right. When they came out of the draft lottery, yeah, Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's actually turned out to be, you know.
A really good player himself.
Yeah, he's playing well. But anyway, so he was telling me that when they walked
matured out. Matured a lot this year.
Yes. When they walked out of the.
Someone say 2 years and one.
Yeah.
Okay. But when they walked out of the draft lottery, they were so bummed out because they're like, we're never going to get Jamal Murray. We're just never going to get him. And then everything just sort of fell the right way. And Jamal Murray might be one of the best bargains in basketball because, you know, he's still on that. He's right. What does he make this year? $4 million or maybe less?
$3 million.
Yep. Yeah, 3.4 or whatever.
They made some decisions. They could have rolled the dice and kept Jokic. They had Jokic under contract for this year for like $1.5 million or $1.6 million. He would have been unrestricted, but there were years and circumstances where Stan Kroenke might have gone that way. And instead, they gave him the largest raise in the history of the NBA, $25 million.
Yeah.
And this is relevant. So I do think that it's unlikely.
Well, they also paid Gary Harris and Will Barton both.
That's right. And they did that knowing they were going to have to pay Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Now they've got it lined up to where it looks like they're probably not going to pick up Paul Millsap's option.
They'd be on the hook for $30 million.
Yeah, so they're probably going to let him go. But I mean, Stan. My point on all this is Stan is spending on this team.
But
there are other times when he should and didn't.
Yeah. Well, and they've got one of the best young cores in the league. When you talk about Jokic and Murray and Harris, Jokic might end up being the best passing big man of all time. How's that for some hyperbole?
No shenanigans calling there.
Okay, no. Okay. Let me ask you this.
Walton just came up to mind.
I'll stick with what I just said. Jokic averaged 6.1 assists per game last year, 7.3 this year, but at 6.1, how many big men average more than that for a season?
Yeah, the problem though, one of the reasons that is, and it's one of his weaknesses, in my opinion, is he doesn't shoot enough. They spend half their day trying to convince him to take more shots. So he's one of the few guys in the league that everybody on their team is saying, pass less, shoot more.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mike Malone said this week, or I guess it was last week now, that, you know, he thought Jokic should be an MVP candidate. Let me just say, if the Nuggets end up in the top spot in the West or even in the top two spots in the West, which probably means, you know, 58 to 62 wins, Jokic will be on some ballots at fourth or fifth. But a fair assessment of Jokic is that there are times when he disappears. And there are times where he just won't shoot, and times, you know, like they'll play a game, whether it's a big game or not, and he scores 8 points. And granted, I know that he's generating more offense and he's way more than a scorer, but if you're going to be on the MVP ballot, you know, you need to not have games where you score 8 points.
Yeah, you got to be Kyrie Irving.
The answer is Will Chamberlain, just in case you were wondering. The only center ever averaged more assists in a season.
Well, also a center who decided, you know what, I think this year I'll lead the league in assists, and then went out and did it.
Well, that's – I always say that if there's any statistic that ever comes up where you're the first since Wilt or the only other than Wilt, you've arrived, because it means that, like, the stats guys have thrown up their hands because they run into the statistical wall he was.
But you know what, though? And the huge question about Jokic, as much as we're talking about, you know, shoot more, the guy's averaging 18 a game, 18, 10 – and 7.3 assists per game. The biggest question about is, can you ever be a decent defensive team if Jokic is your starting center? And the Nuggets are a really good defensive team right now.
They're in the top eight in defensive stunning efficiency right now.
Clearly he's at least figured out. And look, the Mavericks did it with Dirk for years and years. You're going to have to scheme to, you know, try to mask your franchise player's deficiencies on that end as much as possible. And then that franchise player has to at least be a smart, willing team defender. And I think Jokic has gotten to that point where obviously he's never going to be a great rim protector. And, you know, you're not going to ask him to, you know, you're going to try to protect him as much as possible. But if he plays hard and he's smart and he's in the right spots on that end, and you're scheming around him, you got good players around him, they're doing what the Mavericks did for years. And that's, you know, being a good defensive team. Right. Despite the fact you've got a perennial all-star who needs a lot of help on that end.
Yeah, but they got dirt dogs on their team, you know? That kid, Torrey Craig, he'll guard all day. Juan Hernan Gomez, he's been like a real – they've got dirt dogs. They've got guys that like their roles. Malik Beasley, those guys have all contributed. They're a great team.
And most of them are non-lottery picks that they've – you know, one of the things about this team is the highest pick that they've had in this run of building this team is 7. You know, they have not been blessed with high picks, and part of it's because of their performance, but they have never gotten lucky.
Right. Unlucky.
There's some luck getting Jokic.
Well,
41. I know it's not lottery luck, but yeah.
Well, they would say that they were, you know, luck favored the prepared mind. They drafted him, but he's better than even they thought. But, you know who it reminds me of is, frankly, the Warriors. You know, if you look at the way the Warriors were built, the highest pick they had was 7. They drafted Steph and Harrison Barnes, both at the number 7 pick. I think
you're talking the pre-KD Warriors.
Yes, the
homegrown Warriors.
Yeah. Now let me just say, in fairness, they did draft Moutier at like four or five, and that didn't work out. But he's on their roster right now.
Right.
The guys that they have right now, it wasn't like they traded Moutier for a top 3 pick. They pretty much dumped him. You know, the Warriors, you know, basically they got Harrison Barnes and Steph at the 7th pick. They got Clay, I think, at 11 or something like that. Draymond was a second-round pick, you know, not far off where Jokic was picked. I mean, they're kind of built the same type of way. Now, again, in fairness, they don't have a Steph Curry on that roster. But, if you know, you take your hat off.
No, but they've got a legit franchise player in Jokic, though.
And they do. And everybody loves Jokic. I mean, everybody.
And I would say that the way they kind of – the big free agent signing that they did was Millsap, was sort of like a veteran savvy guy, defender, not unlike the way that they signed Iguodala, you know. I mean, there's some similarities in the way that the Warriors and Nuggets were built. So
and you look at their best players, Jokic, 23 years old. Harris, 24 years old. How old is Jamal Murray? Jamal Murray
like 21
is – yeah, he's 21. So you talk about 23 and under cores. Like, man, that's you know, ain't too many that you can put up against Denver's.
Yeah.
So this is the best Christmas gift ever, the Hoop Collective Christmas gift you have given me, to finally talk about these Denver Nuggets. You'd be very happy.
All right. Well, that was that. We'll wrap it there then. And Jackie, Thank you very much. Don't let the tree fall over on you, please.
Oh, it's tied up. It is tied up. Like, this is never. Wouldn't it be funny if it fell on Bontemps, though? Wouldn't that be?
Oh, my God.
Actually, I would suggest rigging it to make that happen and make sure you have some video.
All right. Well, don't spike his eggnog. And he's not old enough to drink. And thank you, Andrew, for getting up early. And thank you for everybody listening. We all hope you have a happy holiday season. And we will talk to you soon.
And Merry Christmas to young Dane Winhorst. Merry Christmas, my little friend.
Aww. He likes the wrapping paper more than the presents.
That's all right. That's good for you.
Low maintenance, unlike his daddy.
A programming note that Brian Winhorst and the Hoop Collective will be off until 2019. So.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Unless there's an emergency. If there's an emergency, you know. Durant gets traded to the Celtics, we'll be on it.
Yeah.